Welcome to the Pharmacy Residency Podcast, a member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. I am Tony Guerra. A question I keep getting now is, how do I improve my interview for phase two? Is it different? What's going on? What is it that I can do differently so that now in this more competitive phase two, I can be more successful? And what I want to give you is an analogy as it relates to home buying. Right now, the housing market is really hot. And there are tremendous competition for homes. And what is it that makes a home more valuable and what makes it not as valuable? And what really makes a home more valuable is the number of offers that they're going to get. And if you want to kind of take that analogy, how many offers are you going to get as an applicant? What is it that you can do to make sure that your ranking is much higher and your offers are greater? So I'm sitting in the kitchen with my wife and we're kind of talking about some of the things that we did this last year. And we replaced the roof, which was super expensive. There was a derecho, which had like 70-mile-an-hour winds that tore pieces of the roof off. And we also, in one of my other houses last year, I had to replace the HVAC. Both of those things are important. Obviously, a roof is a really big deal. It makes your insurance a lot less. But it's invisible to the person going in. Whether you have a new roof or a roof that was put on when the house was built, which would have been like 10 years ago or so, then you can't tell the difference. The same thing with the HVAC. If the HVAC is running, nobody can tell the difference whether it's 1 year old or 5 years old. Those things will not necessarily raise the price of the home. Although they are important to the home and getting through the home inspection and those types of things and maybe make somebody decide yes or no a little bit later, they are not as visible. On the flip side, we have completely replaced the floor, not only in the kitchen, but also in what is, you know, kind of the second living room and the foyer and so forth, to a tile that is pretty awesome. And then the counters are now granite, and this happened over some time. All of the bathrooms have been redone. And what I guess we were kind of amazed at is that the cost of doing the floors and the counters and the bathrooms is about the same as the repairs to that HVAC and the roof. However, it's those things that we did that are visible that you can go into the kitchen and go, wow, you know, this is really cool. And then you go into the bathrooms and you see those things. So we've spent the exact same amount of money, just as you've spent a certain amount of time on certain things to improve your interview and application. What I'm trying to get at is there are things that give you points and there are things that maybe don't give you as many points. So most people don't realize that the interview that they think about, where they meet the RPD and they talk to the residents and so forth, may actually be worth less than the clinical presentation and the case presentation. So not only are you kind of missing the mark where you're like, oh, I got through the tough part. Now I'm just going to do my best with clinical and do my best with case. You miss the mark in terms of the points because you're actually talking closer to a third, a third, a third. And then in that residency.teachable.com, it's a goofy number, but residency.teachable.com/P/interview, you can see a preview of what the interview day is going to look like. It's a free 15-minute preview. And then the course takes you through the interview scoring, the clinical presentation scoring, the case presentation scoring, and how to answer the two basic overarching types of questions. One is going to be a fact-based question, and the other is going to be a situational question. And you need to very quickly know which one you're in and how to answer it. And that's why I give you this kind of acronym mnemonic to get through there. But if you don't understand the points, how can you know what you're trying to score? If you only have X amount of time in phase two, just like we only had X amount of dollars to spend on repairs, how do you know what you should repair? Once you're already in the residency, it makes sense to fix the roof and the HVAC. That's going to be important to you as a homeowner over the long term. But in the short term, if you want a quick sale, you don't worry about the roof and the HVAC. You worry about getting those countertops in, those floors in, so that the first thing people see when they go in that kitchen and then they go into those bathrooms is like, wow, this is a really, really great home. So that's the number one mistake that students make when they're going into these phase two interviews, is that they are trying to fix the things that are invisible. There are five things that you can really work on that can become readily visible. The first is the letter of intent, and we've talked quite a bit about this. That's kind of my niche. But in terms of the letter of intent, if that's generic and begins with, I want to express my sincere whatever that is from the UCSF template, that's giving an immediate signal that you are actually not sincere, that you, and you may not know this comes and is copyrighted, that that phrase is actually part of a copyrighted document that is on the UCSF website with the letter of intent. You may not know that. You may have just gotten it from some template from another, you know, a secondary source. But the LOI cannot be generic. That is a very visible thing. You must be very clear exactly why you feel you match to this site. Second, your CV might be a mismatch or was a mismatch in phase one. If you're saying, I've always wanted to be a hospital pharmacist, but you only have retail experience, that doesn't match. And you say, well, I just, you know, there wasn't a hospital near where I went to school. Okay, that's valid. But then your APPE should be at the top of your CV, with all of your hospital stuff at the top of your CV and your retail experience, work experience down at the bottom. It must be visible. Again, I'm not asking you to get hospital work experience out of nowhere. I'm just saying that your retail experience should not be the first thing somebody reads on your CV. It should be the APPEs that you did in a hospital. If your recommendations were going to hold you back, and it's, I know, hard to know exactly what happened there, but most people know if something went wrong with the recommendation, exactly who it was. And maybe they didn't at the time ask, can you write me a positive letter? And you can always write, hey, were you able to write a positive letter? And the person might be forthcoming and say, no, I wasn't able to. And then you know to use other people for the recommendation. Number four is the tough one, which is that you had a poor interview series and you felt that you interviewed poorly. What I'm going to say is I don't think you interviewed poorly as much as you focused on the preparation for the wrong part of the interview. You might have focused so much on making sure that you got all the questions right that you didn't look and see, okay, well, how was my clinical presentation? How was my case presentation? If you did not do well on those parts of it as well, then it would be near impossible to get an invitation because they count for so much. And that's, yes, that's something you can fix in a weekend. All you have to do is talk to somebody who did get a residency and say, hey, what was your technique for presenting the clinical presentation? What was your technique for the case presentation? And I talk about the scoring in that course. But there are thousands, literally, of people that got through those two things and did a really great job. And it's tough to look back and say, hey, you know, okay, I must have made a mistake somewhere. But don't just look at your interview where you're talking to people. You have to look at that clinical and case presentation. Because what that really is evidence that you can do the job that's upcoming. And yeah, they might have thrown you for a loop because you didn't have an appy in what they had asked you something about. You know, maybe it was something about, I don't know, hyponatremia or something like that. And that was just not something you had seen. What you have to do is figure out, okay, well, if I haven't seen it, then how do I want to articulate my resources? You can prepare that in advance. You don't have to have somebody ask you a question you don't know to write the algorithm for what you would do. Because it's the speed at which you answer the question much more than the actual content. When you say, oh, You know what? I haven't seen a case of that, but here is what I would do. And if that flows, they're going to get the same feeling that, you know what, whether this person knows what it is or isn't, and they're going to know how to answer that question. And that's what you're trying to get. So if you feel that you didn't do well on clinical and case, make sure that you work on, okay, what am I going to do if I've never answered that question before or seen that before? That is just as important as maybe getting one and hoping that you get one that you've dealt with before. The last piece is that you have no idea how close you were. And I think this is the one thing that students get down on themselves for, and they feel like a failure. But I assure you that many of the sites in the phase two match are not feeling like a failure. The Mayo Clinic with two spots is not saying, oh, now we feel like a failure. We didn't match in phase one. You know, all the VAs that didn't match, they're not feeling like failures. Yale, New Haven, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Cleveland Clinic, Indiana, Children's Hospital in LA. All of these fantastic places are not saying, we are absolutely not deserving of a resident because we didn't match in phase one. What they're saying is, you know, we had a certain standard and we are going to abide by that standard and we are not going to just take anyone. So on the flip side, are you the Mayo Clinic of phase two? Are you the Cleveland Clinic of phase two? Are you the Yale New Haven of phase two? You might just be. You just didn't match. You, for whatever reason, you might have been ranked second in a place that only had one resident. You might have ranked 14th when they only took 12. You have no idea how close you were. And what I would go in is I would act as if I was just outside, that I was number two and there was only one spot, that I was number 14 and there were only 12 spots. Because with that mindset and that confidence, you can go into those sites going, you know, I mean, we'll have a little laugh about this later that we didn't match in phase one, but the Mayo Clinic is not sitting there like, oh my gosh, I hope we get somebody, right? And the crazy thing is that on the other side, the students that are like the Mayo, the Yale and the Cleveland Clinic and the Maryland's and Minnesota's and Kansas and Indiana's and all that are feeling like they are failures. And that is absolutely not the case. You simply didn't match because of a number of things that went wrong. And in a series of 4,000 instances where you have all of these things going on, you know, it's to have, you know, what is it, like 6 or 7% of the sites didn't match. Well, that's going to be just an, those are just errors. Those are just bad things that happened. But on no reason that it's that, you know, both sides couldn't be really high caliber. So I'll say it again, you know, I recommend that you do go check out the course, the free thing about how the day would go. At residency.teachable.com/p/interview, and that you look at the five things that you need to look at: generic LOI, mismatched CV, recommendations with a toxic recommender, poor interview because you didn't focus on clinical and case, and finally, did you just rank one outside and you were just that close? Look, that's painful, but I assure you those guys on The Amazing Race that are coming in second that got zero instead of $1 million are feeling the same way. So I wish you the best. If you got questions, tonythepharmacist@gmail.com. That's tonythepharmacist@gmail.com.